Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
A little drizzy?
In the morning?
Turn, baby girl, you know. Okay, welcome in. We were trying to find something good for you guys today.
We listen to music to wake up in the morning.
I drink lots of
little coffee, little music.
I'm always impressed that you stop at one cup.
Yeah, I mean, I have to.
It's
weird though, because
I'm good with at least,
you know, those like
two
bangs or rain energies or whatever.
Yeah,
I can slurp one of those bad boys down.
Really? Like, oh, see, I can't do the energy milligrams. Drinks. I can do the coffee.
I can't do the sugar. Well, I guess they're sugar free, but I think they're sucralose or whatever. But like the sugar free ones, I can do, because then they're not too sweet.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. Today is March 1st. We are on.
Welcome.
Month number 3 of 2021.
Q1 is almost over. Not QAnon, just Q1.
There's going to be, you mentioned a documentary on QAnon.
Yes.
That'll be interesting for all of you conspiracy theorists out there, or who want to know about these conspiracy theories.
I just want to watch it. Yeah, I don't know much about
it. It's an interesting community. I've done a tiny bit of research on it, but it's,
I feel like it's like
pretty dark. It's pretty like out there.
It's like the prepper community.
It's like the Silk Road of the Republican Party.
Oh, no, the Republican Party.
Like it is out there for sure. I mean, some of it is not that far out there. There's a lot of it, though, that is very, very far out there.
Yeah, like the Hillary Clinton sacrificing children, one.
Draining their blood, eating them, putting them on pizza. It's intense. But with that being said, you know, there's always some truth in, you know, the extremes, right? On left, on right, but not saying that very, like, there's a, it's a very small fraction
I
there.
I think what happened is Hillary Clinton's granddaughter scraped her knee and was bleeding, and, you know, maybe that got taken.
They ran with it. Well, funny. Welcome in, guys. Today, our Wealth Building Wednesday, we talk all things money, market updates. We've got some great stuff for you guys here. Obviously some updates, big updates on the $1.9 trillion stimulus package. We got vaccine updates. Trump ended up speaking at a CPAC this last weekend. So we'll recap that a little bit.
Pop Trump.
You got some updates in terms of what's going on in the stock market. I've got a real estate deal. I'm going to run through one of my projects with you guys today, just to show you how hot the market is. And also to show you kind of the importance of having a couple different exit strategies, and how, you know, exploring what those look like before you make your final decision, and just having a couple different paths to execute on how that could potentially put some more money in your pocket. You're going to see that directly on when I pull the spreadsheet up here today. But with that being said, welcome to the show. We've got tons of you guys who've been reaching out to us recently. We've got, actually, you know what, I'm going to, I know we'll talk about this, our little Bitcoin update. We've had a bunch of you get write in, text message us. Some people weren't happy with Papa Breedwell and his hating on crypto.
Not crypto, just Bitcoin.
Just Bitcoin, sorry. Forgive me, say it again. So we'll be talking a little bit about that and some of the, you know, I would say disagreements that some of you, our listeners, had. And that's the beauty, guys, is we love having these kind of conversations because it forces us to sharpen our axe. It brings in new points that maybe we weren't or have already thought about and have, you know, it just creates more conversation. So if you guys have any questions as we're going through the show, be sure to hit us up, 844-447-1555. If you're watching this on YouTube, drop us a comment down below. But we are excited to be digging in with you guys for another week, finishing off the quarter strong. We are on month 3. So hopefully your year is off to a good start so far. Obviously there's been some crazy stuff going on in the stock market over the last few weeks.
Very crazy.
The real estate market is still ripping.
On fire.
And
will continue to be still too.
And really there's some great opportunity here in 2021. So if you're new to the show, welcome. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We're on all podcasting platforms. We're on YouTube. All we ask is that if you enjoy these shows with us, you should either share it with a friend, a family member, tag us on social media, or leave a review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy listening. This is how it helps us organically reach more people. Mm-hmm. With that being said, if you haven't taken advantage of your free financial x-ray from Ryan and his amazing team,
we actually had
a lot of people reach out this week and this past week and sign up for their free financial x-rays, which is basically Ryan's team just going through your financial portfolio. And if you haven't taken advantage of life insurance or it's a vehicle that you want to know more about, that is something that infinite banking is a concept that the wealthy use over and over and over and over again. And it's something that you should be using too. In my, what's the word I'm looking for?
Experience.
Yeah. I mean, from
opinion,
it's just one of those things where it's gotta be a variable in your wealth building equation, whether it's now in the near future, distant future.
It's a good conversation.
Thinking about it. Yep. So if you guys want more information on that, you can set up a call to directly talk with Ryan, becomethebank.info. to discuss infinite banking, life insurance, and how that kind of ties in. How was your weekend, bro? First and foremost, before we kick in.
Wonderful. Restaurants in California are starting to open up and dine inside.
Thank you.
The governor is still not doing that. The funniest thing was he live streamed this weekend.
Of course he did.
Inside of a restaurant in a county where he has said it's not.
It's supposed to be shut down?
Yeah, it just... I would hate to be his, like, you know how there's like a person.
His PR.
Yeah, his PR person. Thank you. I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
They're probably like, dude, you're making like, I need a quadruple raise to get you back into office.
Yes.
And the recall efforts against Gavin Newsom are catching more steam. There's more and more signatures going in. I'm pretty sure that enough have been gotten. They haven't verified enough signatures yet.
Shout out
Major Williams. Hope you're doing well.
Yes.
Go follow
Major. We had a great interview with him this past, week.
Last Monday, right?
Yeah. And it was great, guys. I mean, if you want to know what kind of, and I hope this becomes more of a trend. If you want to know what kind of new age political leadership, looks like
true grassroots, actually.
Major Williams is one of those. And I think you'll see more of these types of individuals popping up in other states around the country.
Mm-hmm. It got so far away from grassroots, it had to come back eventually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, politicians got so disconnected from their
Uncomfortable, man.
Yeah.
And there's no accountability now. You know, you're seeing a lot of people, quote unquote, woke, right?
Woke.
And people are paying attention to, you know, whether you love or hate Donald Trump, the one thing that I think we can all be thankful for is that he got more people engaged in our country's politics in the future than, in my opinion, any other president.
Maybe Reagan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's before my time, so I can't really speak to that. But, I mean,
John F. Kennedy. Like those are that's like the type of people that got their constituents as involved.
And so now, you know, obviously we're seeing some, you know, some big kind of movements, right? Of people really stepping up and going, well, it ain't going to be them. It's got to be us that changes this. Mm-hmm. No more they, which I think is a great analogy and kind of metaphor for life in general, right? It's like people are like, ah, oh, they'll handle it. Oh, they will, you know, be the ones to fix it. And I think if anything, it just goes back to like, nah, it's got to be we. It's got to be ownership. It's got to be accountability. And the one thing that you know you can control is not trusting that somebody else is going to do it, but doing what you know you can control, which is your own action. So I think it's really interesting to see what Major is up to. And, you know, he's definitely making some waves in the political arena. And it'll be just interesting to see how this all plays out in California. Because
I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know who for the GOP for California is up there making decisions, but if you don't think that this candidate has an opportunity to win, if you think John Cox is going to have another,
it's
not going to work.
Nope.
You're going to get the same 38% all from Southern California, pretty much. You're not going to be able to, it's just, I really hope the GOP gets behind him, because they're definitely trying to shut him out because he's not a traditional candidate. So.
Yeah, which is, I mean, he's a black man. He is someone that hasn't held crazy high levels of office before.
Yep.
But he's got all of the ingredients, I think, for an amazing leader.
Everybody was a politician for the first time at one time.
At some point, right? Every sensei started as a student. But he's got some great stuff going on. Big news in terms of the House passing Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. And the House of Representatives passed the $1.9 trillion stimulus package early on Saturday, teeing up days of debate and deal-making in the Senate, as you guys heard us say this last week. You know, it was basically on this three-week sprint, right? They had to get something done. And the longer these things were delayed, really, the more pressure it was on the Biden campaign, because there's a lot of people that are unhappy with a lot of Democrats. Yes. I mean, and I'm talking like big name Democrats that were all rah-rah Biden. And they're even coming out going, homie hasn't done anything that he ran on and promised. He's
they probably, you know, forgot.
He's been saying X, Y, and Z for months, and all of a sudden it's crickets when he gets into office, right? Or all of these things that had
to
happen immediately.
Hard to be heard through two masks.
All of a sudden, oh, you are on a roll today, big boy. And now, you know, they're on the clock. So,
well, we got this, the Senate. I mean, we have a fiscal cliff. If you guys don't know what that means, it just means that there's not actually a physical cliff. Let me backtrack. It just means that we have a moment coming up. From a political standpoint, that something is going to end, which will enact change. In this case, the fiscal cliff is the moratoriums and extra stimulus and stuff that was passed in the last stimulus package. It ends in the middle of March. So really, Senate has like 13 days.
Yeah, they got to get it done. So the bill is bound a Senate split 50-50 between Democrats and Republicans. Lawmakers will begin offering amendments to the House plan. So Ryan and I were talking a little bit about this before the show is, you know, there's going to be stuff that gets stripped out, or there's going to be stuff that gets added back in. Mm-hmm. This is where they start doing their partisan jockeying in terms of what they can sneak in there and actually get each other to sign off on based on. It's a chess game, really, is what it comes down to right now.
Back scratching.
So that'll be interesting to, because right here, right, March 14th, jobless benefits are set to expire.
See?
So it'll be interesting to see how they get this passed. But one thing is $1,400 checks going out. Mm-hmm. If you're a federal employee, your kids aren't in school, you could actually be getting a $1,400 check every single, I think, week. There's a $350 billion portion of the bill that a lot of people are unhappy with. Really, the Republicans are saying this is tons of money that is ultimately slotted for what they're saying, quote unquote, poorly run states like New York, like California, that ultimately just shut down their economy, shut down their states, put them their, you know, their economies in this tailspin when they didn't need to. And we're a perfect example of what we've seen here in California. I mean, it's sad seeing domino after domino after domino fall and basically watching the, you know, metaphorical dumpster fire of California and what it's turning into.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom sucks.
But they don't want to see all that money go to a lot of these states and basically reward them and bail them out for their poor leadership, which really a lot of this was just dictated on poor leadership. That being said, the big one that I know a lot of people were paying attention to, and there's a debate, I'd love to know your guys' thoughts on it, $15 minimum wage. Should it or shouldn't it be passed?
No.
That is technically included, but not included.
Yeah, it's in the language of the bill, but the Senate already passed a, I don't know what it's even called. What they passed.
I don't know how they classify it, but ultimately
it has something saying that they ain't going to recognize that, and they're going to take that. They're going to not enforce that language. They're essentially going to just cross that part of the bill out.
Yeah. So
that's the best way to say it.
And you know, Costco's, Amazon's, Walmart's, all of them have no problem. You know, at the Big Flex level.
They're like, oh, 15, 16.
Yeah. They put out that they're going to be jumping up to $16 minimum wage for their employees. And again, these big companies, no problem. They can foot the bill. They're the monopolies, right? They're the category kings. They have the ability to absorb those costs.
They have the foot traffic and the margins.
What the $15 an hour minimum wage does, in my opinion, is it destroys the small and middle class business owner.
Yeah. And it's, and you get this trickle up effect where all that business then travels back up top. You don't have any price competition anymore. And now the big box retailers just choose exactly what
they're stoked. Of course they're going to lobby and support that right, all of the small businesses who've already been decimated, the bars, the small hotels, right, the restaurants, the people that ultimately can't afford to raise, where the numbers just stop penciling, right? If I have X amount of employees and I have to raise every single one of them to this, well, then what about the people that are a little bit higher than that? They're going to expect a raise up as well, right? Yeah. Our profit margins and our overall business model ain't changing. So we're really seeing our net profit get squeezed. And ultimately, right, that just means, oh, I'm going to have to lay off 5 of my 10 employees to actually be able to abide by these rules and provide really probably less better of a service and or product.
Or you're going to have to raise the price.
Or you're going to inflate your prices.
I was going to say, ultimately what would happen and what economics would tell us is eventually people would first, they would try not to raise prices. And then it would get to the point where they would, there's no other option left. And then people would start raising prices. We can see that with coronavirus this year. I can tell you a handful of businesses that had to put up signs like, hey, we're sorry we had to raise our prices. We have to raise our prices. We can't afford, you know, the price of good, the our COGS, costs of goods and services, have gone up. We have to pass that price on to you as our consumer in order to stay open.
Yep.
We have less people buying our stuff with a higher cost to sell our stuff. Therefore, we have to charge more for it. So I think that's what ultimately would happen.
It's going to be really interesting to see.
So the consumer, you get to pay, you know, you as the American citizen get to pay for somebody else's minimum wage. And I just don't know if that's the right answer right now. Maybe in the future, slowly, I think that people should be earn a living wage when they do whatever type of work. But, you know, the kid putting the taco in my bag at Taco Bell does not need to be making $45,000 a year.
No.
I'm sorry.
I think, too, the beautiful thing about a free market is it's a mutual agreement of employment.
Yeah.
So if somebody doesn't want to work for $10 an hour.
Yeah, we're a right to work state.
Then don't work for $10 an hour. Go find a better paying job or go and create your own job. Go and be an entrepreneur. Start your own small business. Like, that's the beauty when you socialize work now. And I get, don't get me wrong, I'm not all about, you know, child sweatshops and all of this crazy, you know, you're paying people. There is got to be a level, but what we're talking about is now making it to where economically it disincentivizes the free market. It disincentivizes business owners, and ultimately, right, it socializes our job landscape.
Yeah, and ultimately,
that's what I have an issue with.
And I think also, you know, this is kind of a backfiring on industry, not, you know, raising minimum wages from, you know, if we were at a spot where people were making $11 an hour federally right now, this wouldn't be a conversation.
No.
It's because they, you know, federal minimum wage has been held so low for so long, and local level minimum wage has been held so low for so long. And then inflation and cost of goods has gone up. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a double-edged sword here, where businesses have dropped the ball on not paying their employees a living wage. And I think employees have gotten to the point where they're infuriated, but they may be asking for something a little rich.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say this again, $15 minimum wage right now or next year or the year after, or really within 5 years, our economy can't handle it. It just can't. So we need to work our way to that point, or say, hey, in 10 years, we want to have this be where we, how do we get to this point?
Yep.
Too much instant gratification.
Yeah. We got Johnson & Johnson making its way into the market with their vaccine. Says shots may be in Americans' arms within the next 2 days. You know, this whole, it's crazy, right? I mean, the whole vaccine and...
I'm waiting for people to start asking the same question I am.
Why, like, when are we going to stop wearing masks?
Yeah, I thought when we get the vaccine, we can stop wearing masks.
But then Fauci came out this last week and said, nope, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm for sure, you know, I was in the gym the other day and I'm wearing this mask while I'm working out, and I always pull it down. I'm that rebel. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm still fucking wearing this mask. Like, this is still just mind blowing to me. But yet, two feet over the guy on the treadmill who's walking, he can take his mask off. But if I'm on the floor 2 feet away from him, I got to wear my mask. I mean, when we talk about how we've really been trying to lead and trust the science and lead with science, it has gone out the window, right? So, you know, for me personally, I'm going, there's got to be a point in time where we set a clear kind of milestone of like, unless you can give me real, like, and have all of these things line up and have it make logical sense. Like, the logic has even just gone out the window. I'm not going to continue living my life like this when I really kind of haven't been living it that way anyways. And I've been completely fine and healthy. And
I got COVID. I was fine.
I mean, and I know a lot of people who have, right? And so it's fine. Like, you got to at some point in time decide, you know, are you just going to let your freedoms continue to get slowly stripped away, and you become desensitized to the fact that really all of the things that were once completely outlandish and not normal and now just kind normal. Of forced norm on you.
Yeah.
So I just think it's interesting to see how this continues to go on, because as more and more vaccines roll out, right, ultimately we're going to see numbers drop, which we have been seeing numbers drop. And so there's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel, and they haven't talked about that.
Yeah.
At all.
Nope.
Haven't talked about that at all.
I haven't heard it talked about. I haven't seen it talked about. And I'm just, you know, I don't get, you know, if you're a California Democrat, I'm just like,
they just want freebies.
Yeah. I just don't get, I don't really get it.
I can be down with certain social causes and aspects and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. I can do that.
But when you just look at the overall economic impact for every Californian, it's literally like we're living in a socialized state now.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I mean, they did a really easy comparison, like Florida and California, similar size and, you know, big states.
Yep.
California's bigger, but I would argue Florida has about 2 times the sensitive population that could be affected by coronavirus.
Yeah, elderly.
I think it balances itself out. They're doing way better than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And last July, they removed their restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then, you know, when I'm going to the hospital in California and my doctor is making jokes to the effect that, A, he's not taking the vaccine, and B, he thinks it's absolutely the dumbest thing ever that he's having to go behind, he calls it data, that says that nobody got the flu this year. He's like, oh, no, don't worry. We're not even giving the flu vaccine anymore. Do you want to know why? Because nobody gets the flu anymore. Like, the flu went from infecting...
It's just been reclassified.
Yeah. They're no longer... The flu doesn't exist. Just only COVID-19 exists now. Yep. And it's just like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, brother. I get what you're saying.
We got you.
I
Speaking of hearing what somebody's saying.
Oh, yeah. If you didn't watch Donald Trump's speech, I would highly recommend you do. Just like
I didn't watch it. What were your thoughts, though?
I think it was.
All I know is he definitely made some waves. Did you miss me yet?
Yeah, he really said that. He verbatim
miss me
said,
yet?
Miss me yet.
He tore into Biden.
I'm pretty sure that.
And he tore into his Republican critics, a lot of the rhinos, right? A lot of people that
it just
basically
looked like when he was back in office again. I mean, that's what it appeared to be. That was the demeanor. That was him talking. He said he'll come back and possibly win for a third time.
There's whispers of him and the Florida governor DeSantis.
Yep. Definitely not Ted Cruz. Whew, no.
I like DeSantis though.
So do I.
He doesn't take shit from anybody.
No,
I would honestly
prefer him on the front of the card and Trump on the Republican side, the vice president. I love Trump to a degree. I think that he could, pump the brakes a couple times and get a lot more things done. So I think DeSantis has that gear figured out.
He did not declare 2024 presidential candidacy in his address.
He repeatedly hinted at a
run while alluding to the false claims of Democratic vote
this
fixing.
Close. I mean, skin of your teeth. He didn't say the words, I am going to run in 2024, but let me give you as close as he got. Wow. 2024 is a year where I definitely wouldn't walk. I mean, he was that.
Yeah, who knows? I may even decide to beat them for a third time, Trump said to Cheers.
And the former and future first lady says hello. He also said stuff like that. So, I mean, he's just, but what he does is, remember, he sprinkles. He does that. That's how he speaks. He likes to rally the crowd up. So we'll see when it gets, 2 years in.
He did, obviously there were some talks of Trump starting his own political party.
He said, no, he said, I am not starting my own political party. I think that's pretty plain and clear. It's been a little different because, a lot of times we've been able to, something comes out and 4 minutes later, we know it gets fact checked by Donald Trump on his own Twitter, but he doesn't have a platform really. Well, he does his office, but he doesn't have the as nationally recognizable platform as he used to say, hey, no, that's fake news and stuff like that. So he made sure to point that out immediately that was fake news.
He also said this was, of the Biden administration, the most disastrous first month of any president in modern history, called on Biden to support reopening schools despite the pandemic and stand up to China and its trade practices. There was obviously a bombing in Syria, which he said he wasn't going to re-engage with the Middle East. He talked about Black Lives Matter and that movement. He's a lot of the stuff that he talked about, he's almost done the complete opposite of.
Yeah, because as we were saying before, and please, you don't have to be a Republican, but
which I'm not.
Understand, Democrats consistently say they're going to do stuff and they don't do it.
That's my problem.
I won't say that Republicans do 100% of what they say because all of them are politicians.
Sure.
Yeah. So just know that all of them lie. But I'm going to take the one that lies less. And generally, that's parties other than the Democratic Party. Just is. I don't even know why people. Just look at history. It's right there for you to see. Biden, the thing I think is going to be pointed out the most is he lied the most to the millennial and younger voting base and then to the people of color and made false promises to people of color. And I think that's a low, low, low thing to do, to scrape votes off like that and then not.
I mean, if you couldn't see the pandering though that they were doing and not see that it was BS,
I mean,
that's
your
own damn fault.
Yeah, when you get to the point where the person is saying, if you are black and you don't vote for me, then you're not black. that's a pretty thoughtless statement and probably inspired by an emotional charge, just trying to get as many votes as you can. And I'm just telling you, don't let history repeat itself. Vote for anybody you want. That's the best part about being in the United States.
Yep.
If you're a Democrat and you align with that, that's who you should vote for. But at some point, you know, when are we going to just be realistic? I'm not saying that we get the best choice of candidates either.
No.
You know, but if
you have to vote off of policy,
you have to vote off of, yeah.
People vote off of emotion, which is human beings in general. We let emotion drive everything we do. Yeah. I don't like them, so I do this. I love them, so I do that. Well, just because somebody...
If you're not, yeah, I think that when we said it like a few months ago, if you don't vote with your pocketbook, you're an idiot, because that's really like...
That's what unlocks the most freedom and impact and all the things that people say they want to do.
All the politicians,
it all starts with money, right?
All the politicians are lining their pockets with special interests, making you guys play the smallest violin in the world. It's just money. So you should really vote for the politician that's going to do the best for you and your family from a financial standpoint. And is not a creep or a kook.
Yeah.
Which we have things in place that don't allow, you know, as crazy as this last election cycle was, that's about as bad as it's going to get. I mean, I think.
I hope so.
But, you know, I'd be pretty charged up too if I was, you know, two times tried to be my candidate. I would love to see, I wouldn't. But it would be interesting to understand, like, if the tables were turned and this was done to Obama or it was done to Biden, how Democrats would feel towards Republicans. And so just, you have to understand, like, when you feel like your things are taken away from you or you're robbed or you're being wronged, people get defensive. And that's the type of energy it charges up. So that's the political landscape that we're currently in. But I think that if what happened to an Obama happened, oops, sorry, when Obama was in office, mm-hmm. I bet you it would have been
way uglier. Yeah, for sure.
Nuts.
So, but I think if anything, Biden's on the clock.
Yep. And it's ticking.
And I was going to say, and there's some people that don't like how he's using the time that he has been on the clock so far. So we'll be paying attention to that.
Yeah.
Curious on your guys' thoughts. Are you happy with Biden so far or unhappy as your president? Text us at 844-447-1555. Know that all of the resources, all the links, all the x-rays, all of the becomethebank.info, all of those resources are going to be at millionairemindcast.com on this episode or down in the show description below if you're watching this on YouTube. So feel free to check all that out, guys. Hit us up. Set up a time to connect with Ryan on your stuff. In terms of what's been going on in the stock market, just give us a quick update. It looks like the last week was kind of wild.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, we kind of saw it. We saw big, and I was saying it looked kind of like a melt up a little bit where stocks were starting to rally up. Obviously, we love when profits happen because then the accounts go up. We get paid dividends. We get paid higher dividends.
Palantir is down.
Should be good today. It should be good this week, but I digress. The rotation, when people are rotating their securities from a sector, it's going to cause a pullback in the market, especially when we have market cap weighted indices like the S&P 500, which a lot of people use as a barometer for the health of the overall stock market. Because when they say the stock market, a lot of people are referring to the S&P 500. Those indices are going to have much heavier pullbacks when they're 7, 8, 9, 10% one company. And a lot of our other companies that are doing well are only market cap weighted to a quarter to a half a percent of the index. So we saw a rotation. Two things happened last week. We saw a rotation from tech to other sectors. I think the sectors that people are buying, and a lot of the reports still need to get finalized and I need to read them, are going to be the areas that I've been preaching on the past 3 months. Small cap value and growth, mid cap value and growth, and financials. To the flip side to that, we had a very high spike in the 10-year treasury yield,
mm-hmm.
or what people use as a barometer for interest rates. That takes off the long-term growth assumptions for equities, because eventually when yield on safe assets is high enough, it almost becomes this question, okay, when does it make sense to get back into safe assets because they're paying me a good yield for low risk?
Mm-hmm.
Once interest rates normalize, that interest rate risk subsides and it starts making a lot of sense to have some fixed income assets. That interest rate spike up by, you know, 10-year going up by 55% over a 2-week period, that started to scare people. So you had to sell off in bond markets because on a teeter-totter, when bond yields, if my hand is yields and my elbow is bond prices, as yields go up, bond prices go down. And normally people are going to sell those bonds because they're going to get rid of those assets. Because if the yield goes up and the price goes down, you're getting paid the same amount of money. Right. I just have something that's worth less. So they're going to reposition those assets. I'm of the opinion that interest rates ran a little bit and they're going to pull themselves back closer to the 1% area. If you look at the relative strength index, RSI, bond market is pretty heavily oversold, in my opinion. Mm. So I think those assets are going to get bought back up. That'll drive yield back down into kind of a median line. And I think stocks will still be a really good place to be as far as for yield and for annualized growth moving forward. But as we sit here today, I think the market's up on a whole around 2%. Like
there was some green on the board, across the board.
Yep. And I think we should have, it'll take a few more days to kind of see how the trading pans out. But it looks like that pullback is done. We may have a little bit more choppiness moving forward. But make sure that when you guys look at your portfolios, don't get worried about week to week moves. More importantly is like, what did my portfolio do this quarter? What did my portfolio do this last 6 months? What did it do this year? Because that's what you're investing for. You're not investing for tomorrow. You're investing for, 20, 30 years from now. So thinking in that terminology and that mindset is really hard to do, but also make sure that you don't forget that, because keeping your money fully invested through market volatility is the key to being a wealthy and successful investor.
Love it. Well, we got some shots fired at you shifting over on to some Bitcoin and what's going on in the market here. And we'll leave the name off for now.
You'll have to go edit that. Yeah.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
We'll just say my man James had some thoughts. Whoever the financial advisor is, and
my name's Ryan Breedwell.
And for those of you who want to message us, we love getting, whether I get lots of hate mail, I get lots of love, I get lots of in between, I get lots of disagreements.
I
welcome it all. Just right. So you guys know, we love this. That's part of the fun of putting content out. Is not everybody's gonna agree with every single word that comes out of your mouth, right?
Of course not.
So we openly receive your comments, your thoughts, your feedback, your love, your hate, all of the above, in between. Mm-hmm. Whoever the financial advisor is obviously has no idea what he's talking about with regard to Bitcoin and is pretty negligent for him to be spewing his opinions on the matter. Damn, Breedwell, stop that. Yeah. Did not feel motivated to send this email until he started talking about the double pay, double spend issue that never actually happened. He is totally uninformed. Hilarious. Regards, James. How do you feel about that? You had
like somebody's got a bag, man. Holy shit. He must have got into Bitcoin at 51, brother. Here's what I will say, James. First of all, you're an educated person. Let's speak that way. Second, when you talk about something and you just spew, I will say this, bullshit from your mouth like you did, with nothing behind it, you're going to get taken to, you know, the chopping block by somebody like me who, and I quote, has no idea what they're talking about, so take it lightly.
Take it with a grain of salt.
One of the reasons, and Harvard economists, which they probably don't know what the fuck they're talking about either, have said, and if you'd like to look this up, you can. I'm sure you're so busy falling out on Bitcoin, you're taking profit, so I won't want to bother you too much, but you should go check that out. They have said that the long central bankers will, and I quote, oh, here we go, never allow it to happen. N-E-V-E-R. For somebody as educated as yourself, maybe you want to go look that up. That means not going to happen. And these folks, although maybe not as smart as you, but definitely smarter than me, I'm going to go ahead and bank on what they say because these guys are paid big bucks to make forecasts. And I'll go ahead and read some quotes. Why don't you go down a little bit? Keep going. Keep going. Right there. Right now, and I quote, it is an asset class, Bitcoin, and I suppose in the way modern art is, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is in the mainstream. I think that it's extremely misleading. Central bankers will never allow that. So this is the type of stuff I base it on. I know I don't have time to go into that all the time. Since you've done so much research on me, the whoever financial advisor is, which I looked you up. Nice haircut.
He did, in all fairness, and we'll just call him James. James commented that he loves our show and he listens in.
Yeah,
so Breedwell is obviously going at you, James, but you went at him. So
yeah, I did, dude. You know what you sound like? You sound like you got your feelings hurt. So, you know, they make mirrors for that. You can go yell all day and that bad boy. And let me speak on that. When we released that episode, it was the day that that news came out.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've mentioned before, we pre-record these episodes on Monday and release them on Wednesday. By the time, it was about 4 days after that the original news article came out. It came out, we had already released the podcast. We've never claimed, I don't think you have, that we are 100% right. And when we're wrong on things that we kind of really keep tabs on or that matter, we admit it. Like when I said that Trump was going to win the election and he didn't. And when our podcast didn't post where I made my election predictions and I put myself out on blast and said that I was wrong. So again, chill, bro.
With that being said, I love that you guys.
You're wrong. But enjoy your A. Enjoy.
Hey,
thank you for being a listener. Thank you for writing in. You're wrong. I have a background in what I'm talking about. You don't. That's what I'm going to fall back on. And I'm also going to fall back on that.
And he's making money, though, right now in his Bitcoin.
He is.
I'm making money in my Bitcoin.
You're not making any money. It's all on paper.
That's true.
I didn't say that Bitcoin didn't make money. That's not what I did. I just said
you're right.
I don't like Bitcoin. Here's a really easy one for you. ESG is a very big focus for investors going into the future. This is for everybody, not for just my homie. It takes an astronomical amount of energy to mine Bitcoin, which is a requirement of Bitcoin.
Mm.
And almost all of the Bitcoin that there is to be mined is going to be mined, and they'll split them into Satoshis, which is like 1/100th of a Bitcoin, and then you got that whole thing going. It's not going to happen because it's the first one to market. It's the only reason it's as popular as it is. It's the worst at doing what it does. I think I mentioned to you it takes about 10 minutes for a Bitcoin to do its transactional process. 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
A lot can change, especially with how quickly Bitcoin spikes and drops. The
price volatility is too much. So if you want to have a real conversation, send, you know, I'm sure you'll probably send a book. I'll keep an eye out for it. We'll call it The Diary of James and we'll go back and forth on it. But you got to have some more substance to what you're saying, man. You know, to say that somebody doesn't know what they're talking about because you disagree with them is ignorant and shows a low level of IQ for yourself. So come back with something that's a little bit more substance, has something behind it, and I'd love to answer that. But until you can go above a Harvard-level economist in the central banking community, that's all I got to say, man. You're wrong.
With that being said, I want to switch it up onto something that I know I can speak to. Yeah. My area of expertise, because Bitcoin definitely ain't mine. I'll say that right now. Mm-hmm. I do like what it's done for me, even though you're right. It's all on paper, right? So I haven't actualized or felt any of those returns yet.
Unrealized earnings.
They're just that. They're just unrealized. Sitting in my little nice little cool wallet that I got. With that being said, real estate market is hot, guys. We all know this. And this is just how hot it is. I want to show you guys.
I'm going to list my house in 30 days. I'm going to have Matt help me do something like this.
Yep. This is something that we've done. You know, I've been in and out of almost 1,000 transactions over the course of my 12 plus years in real estate.
No big deal.
Obviously, many of you know that I had a top 1,000 Wall Street Journal ranked real estate team for a few years. So we were doing a couple hundred transactions every year there. And then obviously I've, you know, flipped a couple hundred houses. I've wholesaled a lot, gotten involved in more now kind of higher net worth, private equity, family office type transactions. But with that being said, I've seen a lot of deals. And so we've known how to position assets on the market to get the attention that they deserve, right? In order to maximize how many people are going to go after them, which will drive up price, which will ultimately put more money in the pocket of whoever the seller is. Well, in this case, I happen to be the seller. So to give you guys a quick rundown, and I'll pull up this spreadsheet here. If you can see this on the screen, and if you can't, I'll just run you guys through the deal. But basically, I got this asset. It's in an area of Sacramento. I call it South Sac, Iraq, because
it's so bad.
It's
so bad.
But that's also
I've heard it called South Sac,
Iraq. South Sac, Iraq, man. It's a war zone out there. You got to be careful. This is an area though that has got the lowest price assets in Sacramento. Yeah. And so this one was a complete fixer. It'd been, you know, boarded up, I think, for like 2 years. People were breaking in and living in it and squatting and all kinds of stuff. I ended up buying the property for $140,000 out of probate. Bought it for $140,000, had a bunch of crap in it. And there were two exit strategies that I was looking at on this one. Well, really three. I could have wholesaled it before I closed on the asset. But when the market is as hot as it is, you don't want to necessarily leave too much money on the table by wholesaling it. You most likely want to close it and do two things. One, many people call it a wholetail. I call it a prehab, where basically I'm going to completely clear out the asset, mm-hmm. get it cleaned, get it in a condition where somebody else can come in with basically a shell, right? And envision what the rehab's going to look like and what they could sell it for, i.e. a flipper. And I get it pre-ready for a rehab. So that's one way of doing it. Or I take it all the way through, right? I'd map out my entire scope of work. It's going to cost me this much to get it in this condition. And by putting this much into it, I can charge this much for it, and I can kind of back into what my return on investment is going to look like, right?
Would you call that a JV?
No, that's just a flip, right? That's just a standard flip exit strategy. So two, prehab it and put it on the market and sell it to somebody who's going to flip it themselves, or I just flip it myself, put it back on the market and sell it to probably an owner occupant or maybe somebody that's going to buy it as a rental. So here are the numbers that you guys can see. So I bought the property for $140,000. My rehab estimated costs of expenses after we did all our inspections and mapped out, hey, you know, if I want to maximize the value of this property, it's going to probably cost us about $90,000. I got my purchase closing costs in there. So my net capital invested on the deal.
Our annualized ROI goal, I think.
Yes. So $233,000 invested in. I thought if I put $90,000 into it, I can sell it for about $300,000.
Probably.
So outside of, you know, getting all of the repairs done and the time to put it on the market and then to secure an offer and then for that loan to close, start to finish, I had about 4 months in there. So then I got my cost of capital in here. I got my, you know, agent commissions, all that good stuff. So if I were to go and flip this property, I would net about or gross about $40,000+, a 17% ROI. Not too bad. The nice thing is when the property is being rehabbed and we're in a seller's market and more houses are closing along the way and the market is going up, you know, a percent or two every single month, that just adds more, right, to my ROI. And ultimately what I found out by recomping this property was it's really more in the $315,000 range now. That puts my profit at about $55,000. So again, the market could continue going up while I'm rehabbing it.
And it is like 1.2% per month.
Correct. So flipping it, not a bad strategy, right? Because the market is trending in the right direction and I'm going to get the benefits of that. So before I decide to go and take all of this risk and spend 4 months and outlay $90,000 additional in the rehab, I said, what about, let me just test the market and see if I were to just trash the property out, which cost me $2,200. So that's my repair costs. And I'm going to put the property on the market. I thought I would get maybe in the 205 range for somebody that would come in, because guess what? A lot of people are going to go, he thinks he can rehab it for 90. I can do it for 60 or 50, right? So all of that immediately hits my bottom line. And I don't have to take any risks there. So with that being said, I said, I think I can get it sold in 30 days, 1 month. I can get it in that 205 range and only spend $2,200, a lot less risk, and potentially make the same amount of money. That's crazy. So I decided to test that out. I listed it at 149. Remember, I bought it at 140. I listed it at 149, right? It's like, you're only trying to get 9K for it? I'm like, no, I'm trying to create an auction effect.
I thought he was wholesale. I thought he was flipping it. Okay, I'm sorry.
So I thought that it was, basically, I'm going to create an auction effect. We put the house on the market on a Wednesday. Don't let anybody see it until all of the open houses and showings on a Saturday and a Sunday. Offers are due on a Monday, and basically we drive all of the demand into one weekend where people are going, oh my gosh, there's tons of people offering on this house. I got to come in with my highest and best if I really want this, right? So we create this scarcity effect and this demand drive all into one weekend. As of right now, I have 19 offers.
Boom.
We're not at 205. Our top offers are 239.
Do it for the second
240
highest offer.
To 245, yeah, 245 and 249.
Watch these numbers.
So now if I come in here and go 245,
boom.
Now we're talking about a 57% boom. Return, $82,000 in profit, and I don't have to outlay any of that capital. I'm going to close it in 3 months less than I initially thought. And I'm going to make even more money, all because the market is so hot right now. And this is also a price point, right? That there's a lot of people who can afford something under $300,000. So I'm most likely going to end up taking one of those offers. But that just shows you, right? Understanding, one, what is the data telling you? The data is telling me there's no inventory in this neighborhood. Days on market are extremely low. We're seeing an absorption rate basically hit the market and go pending immediately. We're seeing ultimately prices of asking price versus selling price go above and beyond, right? So it just tells me all of the things that I should probably test this market and see, knowing that there's so many investors, knowing that there's cash out there, what I could potentially get for it.
Yeah.
Well, the market is telling me that I need to sell this property and not rehab it myself. Take those offers. That's now, what I will do is obviously I will make sure to go through all the offers, make sure they're non-contingent, make sure they're cash. Basically, I'm going to bulletproof my process of making sure this asset closes, right? So eliminating all of the potential outs that they could have and saying, hey, look, I got 17 offers. You're going to have to basically remove all your contingencies, put a strong deposit down. So if you do walk away, it's going to be painful. I will keep that deposit, right? And I want a quick cash close. So that's 14, what we're looking
14
at.
14 days?
Probably 7 to 10 would be where we end up. Probably 10 will be realistic.
Oh, yeah, because you're just, it's a whole, I keep forgetting.
There's nothing, there's no inspections to do. There's no nothing to do, right? So
it's got to record.
It's, yeah. So I am very excited about this one and got a couple others that I'm probably going to test on it.
Like 60 grand?
Yeah, it'll probably be.
After you pay taxes and stuff?
Yep.
60?
Yep.
So, quick 60, guys. Right there.
Without really doing anything.
Once a month, you keep the doctor away with those kind of numbers. That's about 800K a year.
So with that being said, right, if you guys can find assets right now.
And
that,
do the dude, please see how much, do you see this? First of all, Matt has built out, this is where you become a successful investor in anything. Like when we make investments or choose stuff for our clients, you know, we have stuff that's a lot more, sorry, Matt, a lot more in depth than this, right? But you are, you have to crunch the numbers like this and run through those scenarios, because if Matt didn't do that and just maybe kept it in his head and scribbled out on some paper, he may not have come to the same conclusion. So yeah, it's very important to make sure you crunch your numbers and do the due diligence on your deals and be realistic.
There's so many ways of engineering, right? I call it financial engineering. Way you guys can engineer deals and look at all the different scenarios and figure out which one makes the most sense for you, based on the timeline that you're looking to accomplish the goals in, or how much capital or resources you do or don't have available to you, how much risk you want to take or don't take. There's so many different ways that you can engineer deals, right? So most importantly is having the right team around you to look at how you're doing these things, poke holes in it. What about this? That doesn't make sense. You need to tighten that up here, right? And that just gives you more confidence to move forward on pulling the trigger of whatever exit strategy or hold strategy you decide, right? Just making sure that you did one, your due diligence, two, you had a second and a third set of eyes that knows what you're doing. Check that, right?
Yeah.
And just kind of be your baked in safety nets, just to make sure that you don't get caught with your pants down or you don't miss something that could be catastrophic and you end up losing money on or whatever it may be. Yep. So I'm excited about this one, and I've got, you know, a handful of other ones that are very similar, and I might actually test, you know, the same model on. I'm just going.
I'm telling you, there's one.
Why rehab all those?
I'm going to tell you about that one that I keep poking you on. It sounds just like this. It's been on the market for a year.
Okay, so we might have to go check it out. So with that being said, if you guys have any questions on real estate deals, hit me up, 844-447-1555. If you're a high net worth investor, you're an accredited investor, you want to get on my syndication deals list, we got some exciting opportunities coming up this year. You can text the word deals to 844-447-1555. And if you are a new real estate investor and you want to get my free real estate investing course, it'll have everything you need to kind of get started, how to find, analyze, fund, and close on real estate investment deals. Just text the word invest to that same number, 844-447-1555. With that being said, guys, we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. We love the banter. We love the trash talk. We love the love.
We love it all.
And know that we'll continue bringing back fruitful and you know, positive and powerful conversations for you guys to help you on your wealth building journey, wherever that may lead you. With that being said, we will see you guys in next week's episode. Cheers, my friends.
Cheers, guys.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode of Wealth Building Wednesday. Be sure to tune in next week for more news and updates. If you got some value from today's show, all we ask is that you either leave a review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy listening to this content on, or share this with somebody that you know can gain some insight, some value from it. One of the things that you guys know about Ryan and I is, you know, we definitely won't say we have all the answers, and we definitely won't say we know it all. We just want to bring conversation to the areas, the topics that we believe are really important to bring attention and awareness to help you sharpen your axe, put more tools on your tool belt, weaponize you to make the best decisions that align not only with your financial goals, right, but your lifestyle goals. So if you guys want to take advantage of Ryan's free financial x-ray on your investment portfolio, all you have to do is text the word x-ray to 844-447-1555. Most people have no idea what they're being charged from a fee perspective, or really in most cases overcharged, and whether or not their current investment plan is actually aligned with what they're trying to accomplish and by when. And this is something Ryan does for all of our listeners for free. So be sure to take them up on that x-ray, one word, 844-447-1555. Also, if you are someone who is serious about building your wealth and you're already kind of established, but you want to surround yourself with other like-minded, high-net-worth individuals, be sure to text WealthCamp, one word, to 844-447-1555 to learn more about our intimate five-star experiences with other like-minded business owners and investors, to cross-pollinate, to hear what they're doing, and to have a whole hell of a lot of fun while we're doing it. And last, if you want to know more about consulting or getting mentorship directly from me or from Ryan, you can learn more by texting the word mentor to 844-447-1555. With that being said, that's all for this week. Until next, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.